Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. Very excited. I'm your host, Matt B. Davis, filling in for Amy Otto. Before we dig into the show today, I'm going to turn it over to our fantastic producer, Lee, who's got some exciting news.
Matt B. Davis. I haven't heard that one before, Matt. That's good. Well, the results are in, everybody. The National Association for Business Resources would like to congratulate this year's winners of Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for. So join us, and that means Stone Payton and Monica Kaufman, and I believe Amy Otto will make an appearance as well, June 20th at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center as we reveal the top three businesses of 2011. For a complete list of the winners, visit www.101bestandbrightest.com/winners/2011/Atlanta.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And you can hit the rewind button on your little iPod and you can hear that web link again. And then you can
It's on our website. So you don't
and it's
to,
on the website.
You don't have to stress.
See, if you told me that, I could have read it.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So today we've got a very exciting show. I'm calling it Web 3.0. I don't think I coined that term, but it sounded good to me. I, for one, have a lot of questions personally about web development, about SEO, about website. There's so much going on with that. Everybody's got the answer to why you should have this or that. And so I've got three business owners today, since this is Atlanta Business Radio, who are fantastic at what they do, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit more, and we'll kind of just dive in and see what happens. So I'll start with just everybody just introducing yourself and your company.
I am Mark Krikorian with Swizzle.
I am Fred Spring with EDM, also known as Elite Digital Marketing.
I'm Steve French with Digital Tool Factory.
Fantastic. And let's start with you, Steve. What is Digital Tool Factory? What is it that you bring to the world of the web?
I build custom web applications for people. There's lots of off-the-shelf programs you can do, like WordPress, and I do a little bit of that as well. But basically, if there's some specialty tool you need made online, I make it.
Fantastic. And what is Elite Digital Marketing?
Like marketing companies, we help companies grow, and simply we help companies get found online.
Fantastic. And Swizzle, which is spelled
SWY, as in yes, ZZLE.
Okay. And what is it that you guys are?
Swizzle is a platform for doing marketing on the web using video. So you can get much better results with video. That's what we help people do.
So someone comes to you and says, I have a website, but I need better video content?
One of the things that they do is they say, we want to run marketing campaigns to generate leads. And we help them to use video to accomplish that. And you can get anywhere from 3 to 8 times the number of leads from a given campaign if you use video versus not using video. So we help them to do that. We run campaigns for people, but we also are a platform ourselves where you can create your own content using video that you've either produced or video that you create using PowerPoint or something like Keynote.
And this is your company?
Yes.
And are you the salesman, the developer, all the above?
I'm the CEO and president of the company, and I, you know, basically run the operations as well as do the sales and marketing right now.
Okay, so how did you end up there?
Originally,
the short version.
Yeah, the short version is, I had a company before where we wanted to use webinars and other video for marketing, and there just really wasn't a good platform for it. So we looked around, couldn't find anything, built it ourselves, and it's working very well for people.
But when you say you built it yourself, that's what I meant. Like, are you the guy who says, I need to build this product, then you build it, then you find a team around you to help build the company, or where?
Like
you personally.
Me personally, actually write software. I have written software. I do that much less and less as the company gets bigger, but I also find the people to write the software and then also market it and sell it.
Okay. And why couldn't I just put something on YouTube or Vimeo or something and put the code on my site for that?
So short answer is you could. The difference is that with using a product like that, you're not going to get the kind of analytics that we get. We capture all kinds of information about what's going on when somebody watches it so that you know how interested they were. And so the benefit of that is somebody watches your video, you know they watch the entire thing. They also can click on links inside it, and we track all that as well.
Okay. So when you say how interested they are, meaning how long they watch it for?
What exactly they watched. Did they rewind it? Did they play certain sections again? When they clicked on a link inside.
See, now I'm interested. Now I'm sold.
Yeah. So when they click on links inside there, we know at what point in the video they were watching them. We also know where they went afterward. And ultimately, we create a lead score so that you know who your best visitors were and who's most interested in your product or service.
Okay, great. So I want to come back to you and ask you more stuff about that. I want to ask you, Fred, about marketing efforts and about SEO. Tell us what it is that your company does and how you help people do that better.
Sure. First, to Mark's point, I love what his company is up to because it's backed by data-driven marketing analytics, and I'm a big fan of that. So I got really interested in what you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, knowing what's going on is really important to the whole process. That's what we're about.
My company, it's fairly new. It's only a few months old. I've been doing internet marketing for almost a couple years now after reinventing myself. The new company is a partnership where we embed ourselves into a company and become their marketing team. And a lot of business owners really are looking for that. They're looking for trusted authorities to come in and say, I'm struggling with what to do on the internet. I know some stuff works. I know I need to be there and doing things, but I'm not sure what to do or what really works. And so we provide that. And we really do that, again, using marketing analytics and funneling all of our digital marketing activities through one hub and using that hub to measure and to promote.
Okay. And I do want to actually ask you a little bit about your background because this is Atlanta Business Radio. So I don't want to talk about the technical stuff, but also, you know, like I asked you about sort of how you got where you are. I know a little bit about your background, Fred. I know you were in what they call corporate America.
I was.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
And you can mention who it was or not. That's up to you.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I'm actually really proud of it.
Okay.
It's a cool company here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Does it begin with a T?
It does, Turner Broadcast.
Okay, great. And so you're someone who did what, you know, I think the American dream, you know, after, well, why don't you just sort of say what happened?
Sure. I actually moved here to work for this company many years ago and spent a long time working and moving around Turner Broadcasting in various roles. And then the economy hit, right? And so many people in that time lost their jobs and had to reinvent themselves, and I was one of them. And I had a fun time at Turner, learned a lot about marketing.
How many years were you there?
23.
Wow.
And most of that was in marketing research and in marketing. And I learned some really cool stuff, really fascinating things about marketing effectiveness.
And why didn't you just go get another job?
You mean a job?
Like why didn't you say, hey, I got let go. You probably had a decent salary, benefits, insurance, all the things that people like. What had you say, actually, I want to go the other way? 100% risk and...
Yeah, that's a great question.
No guarantee.
It's really tempting to go back into the job world and get the benefits and all that stuff. I looked at the situation and I said, you know what, Matt? In the future, I want to lay myself off. You know, I want to be a business owner who says, okay, it's time for me to stop working at this and start doing something different. And I wanted to have more control over my life and direct where I'm going to go in the future. And I thought working for myself would be that.
And if someone were toying with that and can't sort of make the leap, what would you say? Would you have any advice to give someone that wants to make that leap that says, well, hey, I got a family and I got these bills and I got this mortgage and I couldn't possibly do this, or at least not now, and they're always putting it off? Is there anything you would?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, grab your cojones or whatever word you want to use in there and look at a long-term benefit of your happiness, and your happiness will drive your family's, you know, providing for your family and other things. And also, I would really advise this: get a coach, you know, get a mentor, get someone who you really trust and bounce ideas off them before you decide whether you should go back into the job world or pursue a business for yourself. And I did that, and I was really glad I did that.
Fantastic. All right, Steve. So you are a tool maker.
Yes.
And how is it that you would tie in, let's say, with someone... I don't know, someone that, say, Fred was working with that wanted to make their website better or their company found easier. Is yours connected, not connected? How is it that you do what you do in relation to all that?
Just in Fred's case, for example, it's say you had some old legacy application system of an old edition of WordPress or something in ASP.NET Classic, and you were looking to upgrade directly to the latest and greatest version, but you needed to move all your content over. I could develop an automated way of doing that to where you just press one button and 35,000 pages get migrated over to the new system.
I love the one button push.
It's very popular. But that's one example also, or if you were, say, a bank merging with another bank and you need to make sure that Bank A's employees were trained in Bank C's system, we could develop a series of testing and online learning for that. And basically, it's little one-off applications like that are generally what I specialize in.
So you don't make tools necessarily that would get bought by hundreds of companies. You give certain companies the tool they need to fix that problem.
Correct. It's in an I basically sell to intent in a small number of intent users and not a large number of minor users of a product or tool.
Okay, got it. And then how did you wind up in the business owner chair?
I was the web guy for an Atlanta ad agency whose largest client was Turner at one point, actually. And then they got bought by AOL, and that was the beginning of the end for the ad agency, as was the case for a lot of them. And Fred, I blame you for that. But no, it's
You talking about like AOL, Time Warner, Turner, that whole mess?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about? Okay.
In 2000, and it set into process a lot of changes in the Atlanta creative industry. And so, but that company went out of business, and I was involuntarily self-employed. And so I had the thought of, well, why not just pick up a freelance project here or there? And after about a month, I had enough freelance projects to get by. And so that turned into an agency that originally just served graphic designers, as I make your vision of a website, of Photoshop files, graphic design, sketches. I actually turned those into a working website. And that was the focus of the company for the first few years, and gradually it's turned more and more into tool making.
Got it. So you deal with, or you used to deal with, web developers, correct?
Correct.
Okay, what's the difference between a web designer and a web developer?
Web designer is generally a graphic designer. They do the actual Photoshop files, the look and feel, or the fit and finish, which is a term they still use. They say, oh, okay, this background color is going to be green, this is going to be red, we want the text to be this size, and we want it to be arranged on a page thusly, and also the structure of a website, which is, okay, we have our homepage here, we have our product page here, they see related products here. Generally, that's all in the information architecture web design world. And it's mostly graphical and conceptual. The web developer actually takes those ideas and turns those into something people actually use. So in my case, I will take it, build out the HTML, the individual web graphics, and the database and the backend programming to make all that work.
Got it. All right, let's dive into social media. Obviously, what most folks are talking about, want to find ways to make it work. I just sort of want to open it up and let's just talk about your sort of experience with what works or doesn't work with social media, what's true, what's myth. I just want to open it up to anyone.
Do you mind if I start?
Go for it.
Sort of lay a background here. To me, social media is a great way to expand your reach. And all businesses really need good ways, effective, efficient ways to expand their reach, to spread the word about themselves. Because there's really two ways to grow a company, right? You can have your customers buy your product or service more frequently, or you can have more different customers buy your service or product. So really, there's two ways to grow a business. And I've found that the most effective way is to grow your reach, to grow your sampling, to get your word out to more different people. And I think that's what social media does. It really allows you to do that efficiently and effectively.
All right, so who wants to jump in and say how I do it effectively and how I don't annoy anybody who's following me or attached to me because I communicate too much or too little or do it wrong?
Yeah, I'll take it first, okay. I guess, since I started. But
Mark, go ahead.
All right. So, you know, the first thing to do is try to create value. This is one of the things that I've always said as a business owner is creating value for the people on the other side. And with social media, that has mostly to do with listening as much as you talk, and we're actually a lot more. So you can shout and hope people are listening, or you can listen and respond. And the listen and respond method works a whole lot better with social media. You know, for example, with Twitter, you can either try to get a million followers and just say whatever comes to mind, or you can go and do searches in Twitter and find out who's talking about the things that you care about and respond to them, and you're going to build a stronger relationship a lot faster.
Well, I was just going to say, I've generally found social media to be more of a pyramid than anything else. If you do have to start and finish in a certain order, of which the first part is you need a working blog, which is actually contains useful information. And that's basically the capstone or foundation, cornerstone, rather, of a social media strategy is you need a good blog with content that's relevant, that makes you seem credible, and that isn't pure marketing fluff, but actually does contain information that people will look for in what's known as the long tail of marketing, of a long string of obscure searches, which is a surprising amount of traffic over time. And from that, I would say you have your, and that's, and you have to build on that, otherwise your other efforts will fail. Or so I found, anyway. And from that, you have your LinkedIn, your Twitter, and your Facebook advertising. And essentially in that order, I would say. Facebook being the most precarious and the least useful to a lot of people, I think.
You mean like from a business end, you mean? Because obviously everybody's using Facebook
personally.
Oh,
correct, yes. But it's not, I have not seen, unless it's a direct consumer product or pop culture product, I have never heard of a Facebook campaign being useful. I could be very wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, you make a good point about where you should be. I think it has mostly to do with where are the customers or mm-hmm. the prospects that you're looking for spending their time. And you're right. If you're a consumer product, then Facebook is a great place. It also
Correct.
Can be for certain business products too. But you have to start by where are my customers and go mm-hmm. go there. And I also agree with you on the blog. The blog really needs to be the starting point. That's where content is. It creates great search, mm-hmm. and also it can establish you as an expert.
Mm-hmm. So, I've done searches and I've found, when I've done searches for things, I find a blog that's, it's clearly the advertorial blog. Like they talk about some information, but then, if you use an agency like such and such, which is clearly just a plug for them. So I guess my question is, what would you suggest on making it not seem so like, well, clearly this is, and maybe I'm just a cynical person and maybe people don't view it that way. But if I halfway through it, I can just tell that it's just an ad for them. I stop reading.
Well, I think that's probably the way of most blogs these days is if you can give the customer or the interested person who found you something interesting or something of value, like Steve mentioned, that outweighs the message, the other advertorial type message you have in there, then I think it's a win for the person who gets the information, and they'll easily put up with or okay the information that you're giving them along with that.
Got it. What about older methods of advertising? What if I say, hey, listen, I've got I'm a business to consumer company. Let's say I do plumbing or something like that, and I'm still getting good returns on my Yellow Page ads or mailers that we send out. Should people still do that?
Yes, in a word, if you're getting good returns, why not? Right. But I think I would take it a step further, which is if you're doing printed mailers or newspaper advertising or print ad advertising or even billboard advertising, if there's a way that you could put on a special tracking code or a way for that mechanism to come through to you digitally so that you can track the effectiveness from a lot of different points, why not? Why not make it even more granular and more analyzable? Is that a word?
Sure, it is today.
Okay.
How much weight do you put behind the let's talk about business to consumer companies, Fred. How much weight do you put behind the Yelps and Kudzus out there, and how much time do you work with your customers on focusing on that or doing it if they haven't started it yet?
I think it's a very useful thing to not only get involved in social media, but what you're talking about are reviews, other customers reviewing companies and making it public.
Right.
That's a very effective way to get credibility and to pop above some of your competitors. So I actually highly advise getting reviews and even seeding reviews, like requesting reviews from your customers.
Right.
And that works.
When you talk about using video to help get more reach, if I'm Joe Electrician, Joe Plumber, and you know, listen, I'm really great at what we do. We're craftsmen and we're great at it. We don't, we've never made a commercial. We've never made a video. Like, how would I do that?
So there are a lot of different ways to make videos, and generally the least expensive ones, for especially for an organization like a plumber or an electrician, are the best ones. Turn the camera on and show something that's really cool. You know, frankly, I'm probably the worst person with plumbing in the world, so if somebody could show me how to replace the guts of my toilet and make it work the first time, I'd watch it. I'd search for it, and that kind of quality content is valuable. Use what you know. Use what people care about that are looking for your services. And going back a little bit to the marketing mix, you know, our company, we recommend looking at the cost to acquire a customer for each of the different potential advertising media. So you can go on radio, you can go on television, you can use email marketing, or you can use social networking. There's a cost to acquire a customer in each case, and depending on how many customers you can acquire, it can be worthwhile or it can be a complete waste of money. So specifically for a localized business like an electrician, like a plumber, Yelp is probably the most important place to be, you know, for a localized business. If you're talking about businesses that are more business to business, like the three of us sitting here, place to be is on newsletters, industry newsletters, where people go to find content and learn things. And if you're writing blog posts, you got to stay away from the corporate stuff. The most important thing to do, you're dead on the corporate, you know, promo blog entry. The key really is to look at what people looking for you are interested to know. It might be, in our case, you know, how to choose a video solution. And you don't even have to mention the name of your company because it's all over the place on your website. If they're there, they know who you are. And so that's important to provide the checkpoints for making that decision and make it easy on people.
So are your customers for Swizzle? So are you not B2C, you're more B2B?
More B2B, yeah.
Okay, you want businesses to
use our product and use our services. So, you know, our company is half product, half service. We have a platform where you can use your own video to produce your own Swizzle shows and run marketing campaigns. On the other side, for people who have never used video and marketing, a lot of people out there are going, I just couldn't figure it out. So we'll kickstart people. We'll one, create a marketing strategy for them, two, produce shows and run campaigns for them, or we'll just do training and things like that.
All right, but then you said if they're looking for you, so let's go back to the search thing. I want to get Fred on this. So if I'm the plumber, right, and I say five easy fixes that you didn't know about to save that call to the plumber for next time and I make this cool video, right, do you help them then make it searchable, or do you work with another company like Fred's, or how does that all work together? Because the question is, you said if people are finding you, well, I want them to find me.
Right.
So are you developing that, or is that not part of
that? That's part of the platform. It happens automatically because you can add descriptive words that appear wherever the video appears. So when somebody does a search, they'll find that video. And then, you know, once they're there, it doesn't matter where it is on the web, they'll know it's you.
That's a really good point. I'm making sure that video can be found, doing the simple things like labeling it, adding descriptive tags.
Transcripting it. Even,
transcripting, you know, is ideal, ultimately. So Mark's got a good product in which they do that automatically. And I'm a big believer in automatically creating content that is optimized. And you've heard that word SEO, which is search engine optimization. Optimized content merely means having it in a format that search engines like Google can easily find it.
Right. So, you know, here's my question. If, you know, when the web came about, I forget even when it came about, 15 years ago? I don't know how many years it's been. Whenever advertising and search first became a thing, mm-hmm. and it got overwhelmed by bad things and bad people, where people just paid to be at the top and it was a lot of garbage and a lot of porn and all that other nonsense. So what am I doing to get my site found? What am I supposed to do different than other people, and how does, you know, Google and Bing, and how does that even regulated? Can anybody speak to that? Can you speak to that?
I can. Well, it's not regulated by any sort of government entity. It's Google is the de facto regulator of the internet, and they basically set all of the standards, and they have really a tremendous amount of power over how the web is built, in the sense that there is a very long checklist of things you should be doing to properly tag, sort, add meta content, and display information so where you can get found. But essentially, you're just putting yourself in a position to be found by Google. And actually doing the work, it's not magical so much just as it requires a certain eye for detail. And there aren't any great black hat, as they're known, tactics to get found like there used to be. Or at least the ones I'm aware of don't work anymore. But now it's mostly a matter of just doing the work and having other people like you and link to you.
And what do you think people, when they build a website or update the website, what do you think people most neglect to do?
In broad terms, think about it beforehand. You can add title tags to various things, but for the most part, it's a fair amount of work to get it ready to be found by Google and to submit it to Google in many formats. And so just thinking about that up front and building it into the overall design up front is it limits a lot of options, especially graphically. And a lot of people are not willing to do that or just don't think about it up front. So I would say that's the primary flaw in search engine campaigns.
They're not willing to do what now? I'm sorry, say that again.
They're not willing. A lot of cases, people have grand visions for their websites. They want, bright, sound and fury and, telling you all about the glory of their company. And they want 30-second flash intros and lots of other...
I want it to move and shake and dazzle.
Yes. And, come out and just pull you into the screen because it's so good. But Google doesn't like that. It's you have to make your site readable by people and computers. And computers like text.
Yeah, and I have to tell you personally, if I go to a website and I am surprised because the sound comes jumping out at me when I'm at work and have a fast connection, I'm instantly turned off 9 times out of 10 because I have to turn my volume down and then where's that mute button? And mm-hmm. I honestly don't know why people, again, I could be the hateful, cynical person.
But. No, it's very common, but it's when it's your site, you think differently.
You think
because your company is better, therefore your site should be better, therefore people will enjoy it this time.
Right. And so is that the kind of stuff that you go in with Elite Digital Marketing that you go in and talk to people about? Is that the kind of thing that you say, we think your site should be this? Or are you more focused on the marketing and after the site is built, how does your company work with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we actually prefer to work with companies that already have websites up and running and then to make those sites much more effective in generating new prospects, new leads, new customers. And Steve was talking about something really important, like the way in which we get found online. There's two real parts to that. There's on-page search engine optimization, like the coding of your website. He mentioned titles and tags and other things. And I think that accounts for about 25% of the weight of getting found. And then there's off-page or stuff you do outside of your site, and it could be blogs or it could be gaining links from other relevant content, things that you do to attract other companies or other content to your site such that you become more popular in the eyes of Google. And that's about 75% of the Google ranking power. So the combination of the on-page stuff and the off-page stuff really marries together to get you found. And to your point about getting annoyed by the sound when you open up a website, I think the good news is you actually got to that website. You may have been annoyed, but you got there.
Right, but then if I leave, then it doesn't matter.
True. So that's where EDM comes in and really help you make your site more effective and funnel not only the people that get there, but funnel them through to your products and services and help track that.
So if I don't have a site yet, I'm probably not ready to use a company like yours. You would turn me over to somebody and say, hey, come back to us in 6 months? Or
yeah, we partner with some really great agencies, a couple of them right here in Atlanta who build websites and who build very smart websites that obviously get found, and we help them with that. And then when the website is done, they literally hand it off to us, and we work with the business owner on first developing what goals they want to have as a result of their website before it gets built, and then helping to implement those goals in a marketing platform.
So you're really kind of like they're like if they could afford a marketing department, that
yes,
would be you.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so it all makes sense now. So then it's just a matter of trying to make it work with their budget, I guess, right?
Like, yeah. And that's, I think, that's where we're really different. EDM is a win-win company. And Mark and I talked about this a few days ago. But we actually only get paid when the company grows, when our marketing efforts allow the company to get more revenue. And we're going to base our payment on revenue, not on gross profit, but on revenue. And that means we work with customers who pay for performance. It's a unique model, or a model that's now getting more and more popular, and we want to take advantage of that. It's risky because we may not get paid if we don't perform, right?
Right. It's like we don't get paid until you get paid kind of a deal.
Right, right. And we're actually writing that into our contracts.
Well, and I think that's pretty bold. I think that for me, as a, if I'm a customer of yours, I say, wow, well, these guys are saying, you know, it's kind of like the lawyer that's like, I'm not going to take any money unless you win this case. You're like, well, he's probably going to work pretty hard to win this case. So you're probably going to work pretty hard to get revenue.
It's in my best interest to work very hard.
Right. I think that's.
And good. I love, you know, I love the competitive nature of that, like going out and slaying competitors so that I can get paid.
Very cool. So let's talk about that a little bit. When you, for your business, Mark, is that like what excited you, like what made you decide to do this kind of a project? Or did you see this as just a need in the industry, or it was just a new challenge for you? You said you had some other business background.
Yeah, my previous company was a software company that sold software into a pretty boring industry. It was broadcast and satellite technology. So companies that aren't really well marketed. So they sell boxes, they sell, you know, complicated software that never sees a consumer. So when they market, they have a tendency to do things that really aren't that effective from a marketing point of view. They're not marketing people. So you know, we really went after that kind of customer because they need help so much. So you know, if you're a technology company that's not doing you know, the right things, we can essentially act like an extension, act like a marketing department for you, and build marketing campaigns that perform. And it's all about generating leads that actually produce quotes, that produce orders.
And then what about you personally about this particular, like what excites you about this particular?
I love everything to do with video and multimedia and making sales. So, you know, it's all about the money on the back end, you know, being able to actually sell a product in the end. And myself, I like building things and you know, making things that are valuable to people. So, you know, the fact that I've got a product that helps people sell their products better is a perfect match.
Awesome. And then how did you come up with the name?
Well, we had a different name at first that didn't describe what we do, and one night at 4 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep, I had a brainstorm, and I thought, you know, it's about mixed media, it's about
I just got the link there, thank you.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't obvious to me at first, but thank you.
It's also about martinis.
Well, there you go.
Might as well have fun in business, right?
So let's talk about you know, we're talking a lot about technology, and I'm someone that isn't necessarily sort of geek inclined, but you know, I'm, as a business owner myself, I'm trying to learn more and more. Would any of you describe yourselves as sort of geeks growing up? Was this always your background? Anybody can jump in.
I was a geek of a different sort growing up. I didn't really get into computers until I was about 21, largely because my brother was already into them and I was trying to be different. So I became geeky about comic books, but at some point, the natural shift happened.
Got it.
And we come from an engineering family, and a majority of us are this way, of intense programmer-type geeks.
Got it.
For me, grew up in Massachusetts, and by nature, the blood in my body is a Red Sox fan, so a big baseball fan. And I played baseball as a kid, but what was more fun for me, actually, was analyzing the batting averages and the statistics and actually calculating batting averages for my fantasy baseball league team. And the most glorious moment for me every week was Sunday morning, opening up the Boston Globe sports section and poring over the statistics for all of my favorite baseball players. So I guess I'm a slight sports fan who is just loving statistics.
I'm really about business. I love everything to do with business. And when I first got out of college, I really just wanted to start a company. And I started out, I was an electrical engineer. I enjoyed what I did, but it was a means to an end for me. I think I've read every business book out there, and kind of started with In Search of Excellence. I just eat business books.
What are you reading lately, or what would you recommend? I also am a pretty big fan.
Well, my favorite book for any business is Crossing the Chasm. It's just a great book about how to take a company and go from a niche company that's serving a small number of customers and growing, you know, past the initial phase and becoming a larger entity. Right now I'm reading Gary Vaynerchuk's book called The Thank You Economy, which I just started because I saw him last week at the Digital Summit. And it's a good book about how to use social media. It just happens to be what I'm reading right now. I'm not saying it's the best book I've ever read. And, you know, a lot of these social media books tend to be kind of light on content and a lot on a strong on hyperbole, and this falls into that category.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk wrote another good book called Crush It. I read that, and he actually gives some very practical advice on how to use social media. So he's a good man.
Mm-hmm. What about non-social media? Do you read a lot of books, Steve, on business owners or
yes, I do.
Becoming a better business owner?
Quite a few. And my current one is a book called Start Small, Stay Small by Rob Walling, which is the developer's guide to launching a startup product, which is very short, readable, and extremely full of actionable information. And very much do this in this order, in this way, then move on to this other thing.
Did you say Start Small, Stay Small?
Yes.
That's a clever title.
Basically, it's a way to be to go from programmer, which is part of the job with Digital Tool Factory, to launching startup companies and products without venture capital, without investors. Basically a way to actually get your vision happening without any customers existing beforehand, which is currently what I'm also doing in two offshoots. One is Stronico.com, and the other is TruePriority.com, which are both made for Stronico is for salespeople, and TruePriority.com is for graphic design companies. And they're both in the very early stages.
So what do those websites do?
Stronico.com is for salesmen to manage their offline social network of I met this guy here and he knows this guy. And it's a way to meaningfully record that. And so a year from now when you think, oh, who's the guy I met a year ago that liked golf? And with the software, you can actually find that person.
Because you could search for golf instead of his name?
Yes, or actually
I need
see
that.
How. Yes,
I
well,
need
it's
that.
Available as a private beta, Matt. I'll set you up.
Because I typically describe people or a thing they said, and that's actually how I'll put them in my phone. Like I'll put baseball John because I might not be able to remember John, but if I put baseball, it'll give me that until I actually know them well enough. So that actually sounds perfect for me.
Yeah.
And I put other things that I might not say on a show like this, but something that's,
yes.
that makes them, that I know will key me off to, you know, whatever.
Everyone has their memory techniques.
Yeah. Right? I lose my phone too often to do that.
But this actually shows you how another person is related to you. Just say, for example, Greg here, it's
Mark.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Sorry about
that. I can go by Greg.
He looks kind of like he could be a Greg. Like
he does.
A Greg Brady.
I see Brady Bunch there.
I see a Greg Brady quality to him.
But say I can see visually of myself at the center and on the network hub. And this is all very graphical, mind you. No obvious words. But I can see me. Then I can go, oh, that guy I met through Matt somehow. Then I can see Matt. Then I can see all the people I know through Matt, which is Fred.
Or through business radio, for example.
Exactly. And so it would be dual hubbed. And you would be connected visually to both people. But you could then see that.
And would this site be a like a freemium kind of a site where it'd be like it would start out free and then charge, or would you want to have it all be free and get advertising, or how would you?
It would be I would be charging for it.
Okay.
It's made for salesmen to make money, and since this helps you make money, this site deserves a cut of that to some degree.
Got it.
So it would be probably $20 a month.
Okay. Got it.
And connected to your LinkedIn, Facebooks, Gmail.
Right. Well, let's actually talk about platforms and connecting things. And again, this is sort of open because again, I'm new to all this. I like, for example, I've been to the Salesforce conference, and there are 20 billion products that connect to that product. And I don't think they designed it that way. I think they made this good product, and then people wanted to connect to it. Is there? So for someone like you, when you make a product, do you want it to, would you eventually want it to connect to these other things, or how hard is it to like call these companies and say, hey, I want to be connected to you?
That varies tremendously depending on what it is. A lot of places have open platforms or APIs, as they're known, which stands for Application Programming Interface for anyone that cares. But essentially, it's basically go here, type in your account information, and pull your data down. And that's all it requires. That's maybe 20 lines of code. And so when they say connects to Salesforce or Basecamp or what have you, that doesn't necessarily mean that much. It can. It can be entirely based on that. But when you say connects to Salesforce or Basecamp or the Freckle Timer or what have you, that's pretty easy to implement in an existing product. And so, well, in Salesforce, it's a bit different because they have many products that just live on Salesforce and are purely only good with the existing Salesforce product. It's connecting to it can be easy to implement and might not mean anything.
And then what about for Swizzle, where you see the product going, is it something that you want to get this someplace and sell it to someone else and start a new business, or do you see this as a product that people will always want to use?
We have some pretty big plans for it. You know, essentially what it is right now is it's a platform for doing multimedia and video-based marketing, but it's really a multimedia creation and deployment, delivery tool. So there's all kinds of things that can be done, a lot more with social networking and, you know, the connections that you were talking about into so things like Facebook and LinkedIn. We're also going to connect it into Salesforce.com and a bunch of marketing automation companies. And really, it goes so much beyond just a business application. You know, some of it we're not ready to really roll out yet, but there's a whole lot more that we can do.
What are the trends these days as far as, I mean, obviously, you know, Google is Google, but as far as Twitter goes, are people searching on there for, are they searching for entertainment? Are they searching for companies? Because I've seen, you know, people put, you know, those hashtags that actually mean something, and then people do it just to be funny. And what are the numbers or what are the trends saying to us about search within Twitter?
It's growing really rapidly. You know, that was a kind of a later feature addition to Twitter. At the very beginning, searching Twitter, you know, was impossible. And they actually, you know, merged a product in to do that. And it's very effective. If you're looking for, let's say, a suggestion on a restaurant, you can type the type of a food that you want and you'll find a variety of different things. And then the neat thing about Twitter, if somebody's listening who has a restaurant that's nearby, you know, they can respond and say, hey, have you ever tried our place? Or, you know, here, or a recommendation that's not our place, but a place that I love.
Well, but if I had a restaurant, how would I do that? If I have, let's say, a Mexican restaurant, how do I know those tweets are happening about Mexican restaurants in my area?
You use search.twitter.com and you do a search on people who are looking for a burrito, for example. You know, you just type burrito in, see what comes up, and if somebody's saying, anybody know a good burrito, then you respond. And you develop relationships in that way.
I didn't even know that.
It's great one-to-one.
I totally just learned that. That is so cool. I have to figure out a way to, for my business, because we're more of a B2B, so I would have to figure out a way to do that. But that's, you know, when they show what's trending in the area, a lot of times it's, you know, random famous things or random things that don't mean anything. But I didn't know that you could backwards search like that.
Yeah, it's just responding to people's tweets. And then what you're really trying to do is follow people who you're interested in and get people who are interested in your kind of stuff to follow you at the same time. So Twitter, a lot of people use Twitter in exactly the wrong way, where they're just promoting stuff, trying to develop a big follower base of people who really they don't care. They think the number is what matters. What matters is really the quality of the people that are following you.
Hmm. Right. So what would you say, I'll open this up. I've got a business. How many times should I be updating my blog, my Facebook, my Twitter? What's the balance of good versus overkill?
Hey, let me give you a quick good tip about Facebook. A lot of people may not know this, but we're talking about how to get found on Twitter, how to get found on Facebook. Do you have a business Facebook presence?
I actually have too many that I need to figure out how to congeal. I have a page,
mm-hmm.
and we have a group, and we're a location. And I need to figure out, for our business, how to merge those things.
When you figure out your primary hub or your Facebook presence, let's say it's a fan page, you can create your own username that doesn't have to be your business name. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but people are going to find your business anyway, right, on Facebook. Why not call it as your username, promotion, staffing?
Like facebook.com/best staffing company in Atlanta.
Right, right. And that's a clever way, there's free advice for you to get found on Facebook. And Facebook is huge.
And again, how would they stop people from abusing that?
They have some rules in place where you can't do a few things, but what we're talking about, promotion staffing or whatever you want to be known for, would fall right within the realm of...
So I could say best promotional staffing company. I could say that.
Yes.
But if I try to create 5 accounts with that, they would probably flag me.
Right, but I think you're about to go to 1 account.
Well, I thought so too. They actually said, well, Facebook is confusing at times in this way. It said you have a group. This is going to be archived, so you need to create a new one. And then when you go to the more info, it says if you're eligible to upgrade, you'll see a link that says upgrade. And I don't know if they mean today or in a month or what that means. Also, I'm speaking because maybe other people have this problem. If you created a fan page for me because you like me, it says at the bottom, this community was created not by this company. So I have no control over that one. So our company, we would like to merge those. I mean, it seems obvious that the place would be the same as the group or the location if somebody checks into that location, but we're not quite there yet. But anyway, back to the question. That was a great tip. Because we're almost out of time. Let's talk about good number of tweets versus blogs versus first of all, I personally want people to stop doing it so much. That's part of why I'm asking. But I think people are out there don't know and they'd like to know. So just curious to get the table's opinion on that.
Do something that's interesting, either mildly interesting to a lot of people or intensely interesting to a small number of people. Whereas if, you meet Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain at a convention or something, that's interesting to a lot of people. That should be blogged and tweeted. Whereas if you solve some problem which is common to all staffing companies, very interesting to a much smaller number of people, blog and tweet that. But if it's just another day at the office, that's neither interesting to... Well, it's not interesting to anyone, so that should just be silent.
And would you say there's a number?
No.
Or a range?
For blogging... most companies they tend to say I can't commit enough time to it, and if you can commit to doing a blog post once a week and that's all you can do, that's what you need to go ahead and do, and really it's whatever the highest frequency that you can create good content, because you can write bad content every day that's not going to help you, or you can write good content once a month and it will help you. The more frequently you can write good content, the better. Optimally for a company that's less than $100 million, it's probably a couple times a week if you can do it.
I agree with Mark. Actually, that's where we come in and help. Is business owners don't have the time or the resources to develop and write their own blogs, so we get them started on that and show them how easy it can be. And I agree with Mark. It should be 2 to 3 times a week, ideally, or almost every other day.
Blogging specifically?
I'm talking about blogging or creating content that's interesting, like Steve's point, to somebody.
Right. Now, obviously, you can tweet your blog link, but how many tweets per day or week would you say is the right, not too annoying amount? Because I can tell you personally, if I go to my feed and there are 7 in a row from the same person, I immediately unfollow them because they're blocking me from seeing possibly what else is out there every time I go to my page. They're taking up space. So what would you say? Is there an optimal amount? Maybe there isn't.
It's really about how often you can tweet something that's worth hearing, because if you can, it shouldn't be every 30 seconds, but if you can, tweet 5 to 10 times a day with something that's useful, my dentist does that, but they tweet things like, some news about the dental industry or something like that. I'm a fanatic about dentistry myself.
I was reading the weekly bicuspid last week. It's an old George Carlin joke. So listen, guys, we're about out of time. I want to give everybody a chance to plug their website or whatever it is that they've got going on, where people can find you. Start with Mark.
All right, Swizzle's on swizzle.com, S-W-Y as in yes, Z-Z-L-E.com. Go take a look at the shows that we have on there and start a free trial if you're interested.
And you could get an insane Scrabble score with that word.
Yeah,
if
you could.
If it were a real, if you wasn't a proper name.
Yeah.
I'm playing a lot of words with friends lately.
I think it's not it's not even in the Scrabble dictionary, unfortunately.
Not yet.
But
we'll
will.
Get it there, yeah.
EDM marketing is fairly new. You can find us through springinternetmarketing.com.
And digitaltoolfactory.net, and that's the company website. And the product is stronico.com, S-T-R-O-N-I-C-O.com. And sign up to be a beta tester and put Business Radio in the promo code, and you'll get a discount when the product goes live.
Hey, how about that? And then many other tools and things. That's just one of your many tools.
Yes.
And my name is Matt B. Davis. A lot of Matt Davises out in the world. That's why we need to be. And I'm with BMT Promotions and Talent, the best staffing company for promotions, trade shows, and experiential marketing events. And thanks for joining us on Atlanta Business Radio.